This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In 2020, while a remote graduate student of Lincoln Christian University in Lincoln, Illinois, the Reverend Kaylee Hargrove embraced her identity as a transgender woman. In response, school officials, citing the school's student code of conduct, gave her two choices: withdraw or face disciplinary action. She withdrew, but redirected her fight. Kaylee, now an intern pastor at First Christian Church in Decatur, Georgia, is with us today. Kaylee, welcome to The 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Kaylee is now partnering with the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, which goes by REAP, R-E-A-P, an organization that works with queer, trans, and non-binary students who've experienced discrimination at their religious institutions on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. Joseph Baxter is an attorney and legal fellow at REAP with expertise on the current balance between LGBTQ human rights and religious liberties. His law school Capstone Project analyzed LGBTQ discrimination at religious institutions that receive federal funds, an issue that REAP founder and director Paul Southwick is presently challenging on a constitutional basis as the lead attorney on a class action lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Education. Joe, welcome to The 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
And I should mention right up top, we did invite Lincoln Christian University. They declined to join our conversation or provide a written statement. We do have a brief statement we'll read later than and when they responded to one of these legal actions. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. Joe, I'm going to begin with you. For some of our listeners who may not be familiar, what is Title IX? To whom does it apply and under what circumstances?
Yeah, Title IX is a statute that says that students may not be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination on the basis of sex under any education program or activity that receives federal financial assistance. So basically, if you're a school that receives federal financial assistance, you're not allowed to discriminate against your students on the basis of sex. However, there is a religious exemption to Title IX, which says that this section shall not apply to any educational institution which is controlled by a religious organization if the application of that subsection would not be consistent with the religious tenets of such organization. And this exemption has been utilized to target and allow discrimination against LGBTQ youth at these universities that receive federal funding.
Kaylee, you studied at Lincoln Christian University in 2009, then, as I understand it, left to serve in the Air Force, returned in 2019, after which time you began your transition. What was your relationship with your faith and your religious tradition during that time?
I mean, my religious tradition is very much steeped in the independent Christian church. Like, that's how I grew up. I grew up in one of those churches. I did my undergrad at Boise Bible College, which is the same tradition. And like Lincoln was the seminary that people went to within that tradition. And so like, it really wasn't much of a choice. I mean, like there was a choice, but it was like kind of assumed that if you're going to keep going in higher education within the independent Christian church, you would either go to Lincoln Christian University or you'd go to Cincinnati Christian University. Cincinnati ended up closing eventually. So like those are kind of my choices. And like, I wanted to stay in my tradition. I left in 2010 because, like I was married, I had a child, and, it just really wasn't a time to be able to afford, like get a job to afford to go to school, because the economy was not doing well, and Lincoln is also a very like small rural town in Illinois. So I joined the military, and I served for just under 9 years. But going back and finishing my degree and getting my Master's of Divinity within the tradition I grew up in was still really important to me. That's really what I wanted to do. And my faith has changed, and different aspects of what I believe has changed, but like the independent Christian church is fundamentally non-creedal. And like, there should be an understanding that you don't have to agree on every aspect of Christianity to still be welcome within that community, because that's how they were founded, was unity first. Like, that's one of the tenets that they teach us in, like, the History of Stone Campbell Movement, which was a class that I took at Lincoln. And so, like, I feel like I should have been able to exist there.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a break. This is the 21st show. We're speaking with the Reverend Kaylee Hargrove and Joseph Baxter. Kaylee Hargrove was a student at Lincoln Christian University when she embraced her identity as a transgender woman. School officials basically gave her the choice, withdraw or face disciplinary action. She withdrew, but is now part of a legal fight against the school. Joseph Baxter is with an organization that represents people in those sorts of fights. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the Reverend Kaylee Hargrove, intern pastor at First Christian Church in Decatur, Georgia, and a former student at Lincoln Christian University in Lincoln, Illinois, at least until the school found out she had embraced her identity as a transgender woman. School officials basically prompted her to withdraw, but now she's part of a legal fight against this sort of discrimination. And she's partnering with an organization called the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, or REAP, which works with students who've experienced discrimination at religious institutions on the basis of either sexual orientation and or gender identity and expression. And we're speaking with Joseph Baxter, who's an attorney and legal fellow at that organization. I should have mentioned Lincoln Christian University declined to join our conversation today. You can join us, though, at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So, Joe, as I understand it, REAP received notice in January this year from the Office for Civil Rights of the U.S. Department of Education that the agency is initiating a Title IX investigation of Lincoln Christian University after a complaint was filed on Kaylee's behalf in October 2021. Can you update us? What is the status of the investigation now?
Yeah, we haven't been updated as to what the status is. We can tell you what generally happens in these investigations. Normally, the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights will alert the schools that an investigation has begun, but it will also offer them the opportunity to claim a religious exemption. This means that universities can write a letter in response to OCR and say that they are exempt from these claims because of religious tenets that they have. This is very problematic for students, especially because this means that these universities can claim an exemption after the fact that discrimination has occurred. So students will believe, for example, that they're protected by Title IX, that it applies to these schools because these schools will state that they're Title IX compliant. Most students aren't aware that there is a religious exemption to Title IX. And then after the student has been discriminated against, the school will claim an exemption, leaving the student without protections. So we're uncertain at this point because the Office for Civil Rights has not updated us, but we assume that the school will claim a religious exemption and that the investigation will be dismissed.
Kaylee, how are you thinking about this? Are you expecting a certain outcome?
I honestly expect essentially what Joe just said, that they are going to claim a religious exemption to get out of having to deal with this. And honestly, like, that really sucks because I went to the school and I looked up that they were Title IX school and they didn't have a religious exemption on file. And like, I feel like if my government tells me that I am going to be protected, that should actually hold up. Like, maybe what the government says should be a thing that they carry out. But unfortunately, like the way that it's set up, there is no protection for a person like me at an institution like this. They essentially get to choose whether or not they want to follow the law. And that sucks because that means that I'm less of a person than an institution.
Yeah, and I should say we, back in January, Lincoln Christian University issued a statement saying, basically acknowledging that they received a letter from the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights informing them that a former student had filed a Title IX complaint and that an investigation had been opened. They said, quote, "We are responding to the OCR, Office of Civil Rights, and we have and have no further comment at this time," end quote. Joe, then there's this, separately, there's this class action lawsuit filed in March 2021 against the Department of Education. Can you talk about that? What's at play there? What's at issue there?
Yeah, and so the brunt of this case challenges this exemption, the constitutionality of the exemption itself, and how it's applied to target LGBTQ students, saying that students are claiming an equal protection right to equal access to educational programs that receive taxpayer funding, and their right to be free from discrimination because of their sexual orientation and gender identity while they're attending these educational programs. So it challenges the basic constitutionality of these exemptions, especially as they're applied to LGBTQ plus students.
On the other end of the spectrum, you have people who argue that greater protections under law for LGBTQ plus individuals infringe upon religious liberty of these institutions. They violate First Amendment rights. Kaylee, you're a pastor who's been exposed to different faith traditions in the broad umbrella of Christianity. Can you talk about the sort of opposing theological interpretations at play there?
Of course. But I do also want to just highlight, and I'm sure Joe would back me on this, like the issue isn't whether or not institutions can carry out what they believe from their understanding of scripture. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they're receiving federal aid and the federal government has promised to protect students. And so like there is a disconnect here that these schools shouldn't be receiving aid while discriminating whenever the federal government has said that they won't do that. But from a theological point of view, like these come down to interpretations, and we can talk about inerrancy of scripture and all of that. And that's great. And I love having those conversations, but when it comes down to it, it comes down to interpretation. A lot of times when, especially for being trans, the thing that people go to the most is Genesis, and whenever it says God created mankind male and female, and this shows up in multiple handbooks for religious institutions, and they cite Genesis 1. The problem is like that's actually the most inconsistent reading of Genesis 1, because you have 6 days of creation and not a single day of creation has a fixed category. Like the creation of day and night doesn't exclude dawn and dusk. The separation of water and dry land doesn't exclude swamps and marshes and, you know, mud puddles. The creation of things that swim in the sea and fly in the air and crawl on the land doesn't exclude like frogs and mosquitoes. The creation of the sun, moon, and stars doesn't exclude black holes. So like, every single day of creation has these examples that fit inside of the creation narrative that don't fall perfectly into these categories. And so the only thing that people are holding to a fixed category is a gender binary. And that's honestly the most inconsistent reading of Genesis 1. And that's really kind of problematic.
Really...
There's other things. There's other things going on. Like people will quote in Deuteronomy that basically men and women shouldn't wear the opposite gender's clothes. And like, if you took that literally, like basically every teenage girl that wears their boyfriend's Leatherman's jacket is like an abomination to God. Like it's a level of interpretation that people are making without actually without thinking about the outcome of that interpretation. And so, there is tradition. There's longstanding history of believing in one way. However, I think that there has to be room for people to push back and like say, this actually might not be the best understanding of our scriptures. So yeah, that's kind of the theological issue at stake, is not so much that the Bible that the Bible says one thing specifically. It's actually more that people want to hold to their interpretation as being the correct one and knowing that they're correct.
And I got to say, I want to acknowledge that I got to imagine it's difficult to have the validity of your identity debated by religious institutions, by the government, on the radio. And, you look at certainly what's happening around the country today in Texas and other places with laws about transgender individuals. I wonder if you can talk just about what kind of effect this all has on someone. Did you ever think your life would be this public in this way?
No, I didn't. I'm still kind of adjusting to it. I'm not used to seeing my name pop up in like some very conservative articles that are saying things like I'm part of the trans cult, I'm a religious extremist, things like that. Like it's really weird to see that. But the thing that struck me the most, especially when I got that letter from Lincoln, that was essentially telling me either I can withdraw or face disciplinary action, was just the fact that they no longer saw me as a person. They saw me as an issue that needed to be dealt with. And that, I mean, that's really hard to deal with. That's not something that people should have to deal with, because I am far more than I'm far more than an issue that they think they need to handle and deal with and get rid of. Like, I'm an actual person that is behind this statement that they're making about me. And it's just, it's hard. It's hard to have your entire identity be reduced to what people want to call a political issue. Cause like, I'm not an issue. Like I'm a real person. I have a family. I have friends and all these things. Like, I have an entire life behind me, and yet people will just say the trans issue. And it's like, no, there's real people like behind this. Like, stop denying us our humanity by talking around us as if it's just something that we can disagree on. No, it's not. This is real people. Like, the way that it's talked about has real consequences on real people.
Has this shaken your faith at all?
Shaking my faith, not so much. Because by the time that this happened, like, I was in a place where I could, I could handle it, I guess. And also like the church that I'm at is incredibly supportive. I went with them as soon as I went and told them as soon as I got kicked out of school, and basically everybody was there to support me. And that was amazing. I'm really lucky in that sense. There are a lot of queer students that not only do they get kicked out of school, but then they also have to deal with the congregation that possibly thinks the same way as the school. And so just the fact that I had a community to fall back on is something that I'm really grateful for. And I know that not everybody has that.
Joe, just a minute or so left in our conversation. What is next in this case? I know there's more to talk about. There's a strain of conservative legal thinking, in fact, that has upheld transgender protections, even, up to the Supreme Court. I wonder, where do things go from here? What are your prospects?
Yeah, we're very early on in the case. This will work its way through the court system. We think these are very important questions. As you said, this is a balance between religious liberty and freedom. We all fight to protect each other's freedom of thought and belief, and freedom of religion and freedom of conscience are core values and freedoms that we believe in. But it is important to know that the right to believe and freedom of religion does not allow us to use that to cause harm or injury to others or to encroach upon their rights. And we can't twist the freedom to believe into a right to act on beliefs that harm or encroach on the freedoms of others. That's using laws that are designed to promote freedom, to use them to promote oppression and supremacy instead of equality. So, you know, our fight is not against religious freedom. It's saying that this freedom cannot be used as a license to discriminate against and target LGBTQ individuals. It can't be used as an excuse like that. And we believe this question is very important, and we believe it will continue to work its way through the system, and will eventually be determined by the higher courts.
Kaylee, Joe, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
The Reverend Kaylee Hargrove is intern pastor at First Christian Church of Decatur, Georgia, was a student at Lincoln Christian University until they found out she was transgender and basically prompted her to withdraw. Joseph Baxter is a legal fellow at the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, or REAP. Lincoln Christian University was invited. They declined to join our conversation or provide a written statement. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey, Aiden Choate, and Erica Scalise, who's also our engagement producer. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.